You are listening to the Corrections Connection News Network, CCNN, your weekly news source for the corrections and criminal justice industry.
Welcome to today's live talk. I'm your host, Michelle Gasso. This week on the Corrections Connection, we're looking at public health partnerships in corrections. Joining us today to discuss this topic is Thomas Lincoln of the Brightwood Health Center in Springfield, Massachusetts, which is involved in a partnership with Hampden County Sheriff's Department in the same city. Thomas Lincoln is a physician at the Brightwood Health Center and the primary responsible physician at the Hampden County Correctional Center and Corrections and Community Health Program since 1993. He's a member of the Bay State Medical Center and Tufts University School of Medicine General Internal Medicine Division and Residency Program. Besides community and correctional health care, other project areas he's involved in include HIV, hepatitis, sexually transmitted disease, tuberculosis, addictions, and violence prevention. He is also a Massachusetts team member in the National Governors Association Prison Reentry Policy Academy. He's participated in several correctional healthcare projects and studies and has received several awards for his work in medicine and in the community. So welcome to today's live talk, Dr. Lincoln.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Well, we're very happy to have you. First, can you tell us a little bit about the Brightwood Health Center and the population that it serves in the community?
Sure. The Brightwood Health Center is in one of the neighborhoods of Springfield. Springfield's about 500,000 people. And we're in one of the, actually, more stable housing-wise, but one of the poorest regions of the state. Springfield is fairly hard hit by some urban poverty and HIV. Really in connection with many other cities in the Northeast.
Yeah. Is the Brightwood Health Center, is that a regular community health center? Does it receive some funding from the state, or is it from the county?
Brightwood's actually part of the Bay State Health System,
okay,
which is a large nonprofit serving Springfield area. And within the system with the jail, there are federally funded independent community health centers as well, but Brightwood's not one of those.
Oh, okay. Now, Hampden County Sheriff's Department has been known for its innovations in connecting correctional health care to public health agencies. And so how and when did Brightwood become involved with the Sheriff's Department?
Well, over a decade ago, we were involved with the HIV care and noticed that some of the HIV patients were disappearing and for several months and showing up off medication, and found out that they were actually incarcerated. And that led to an early cooperative program with the jail around HIV. And then with the building of a new facility and the whole jail program expanding, the mandate from the sheriff and the new medical director there was to come up with a community integrated model of healthcare. And what made sense was expanding on the model that we were starting to develop around HIV.
So it started with HIV, but and is that where some of the sort of initial funding came from for this collaboration?
The collaboration didn't have particular funding to support it other than the general ongoing healthcare budget, except for the important fact that the Department of Public Health and the HIV Drug Assistance Program were expanded to include the jail in Springfield and other jails in Massachusetts to facilitate the HIV care so that there would not be some economic disincentive for early diagnosis and early treatment.
Now, the Hampden County Sheriff's Department was the recipient of a demonstration grant that from CDC. Is that, that's all related to this? Is that
yes,
right?
Yes. So after that, after the model was underway, we looked for funding to try and expand and beef up the model and also look at outcomes and do some
impact assessment of the model, both within the facility and in the community. So there was funding, cooperative funding from the National Institute of Justice, from the Soros Foundation, Center for Crime, Communities, and Culture, and the Center for Disease Control.
So, and using that funding to kind of go beyond HIV treatment into some other areas?
Yeah, we had already expanded to general health care, so that we didn't want to have the program centered around HIV, both because it made sense in terms of the model for the program, and also for the purpose of confidentiality. So if somebody was seeing a particular provider, it wouldn't be known to everyone that they had HIV based on just the fact that they were seeing that person.
I see.
Can you give our audience an idea of the breadth of the types of services that are provided to offenders in the community from this?
Sure.
After release?
Yeah. But the services are basically the same services that would be provided to anybody else in the community. So the idea is to have the continuity of care such that people are able to be seen at their community health center. So when people get out, they continue with the same team that's community health center based, assuming that they don't have health care already set up somewhere else. And within the community health centers is medical care, mental health care, and there's associated programs in terms of substance abuse treatment that are not based fully within the health centers, but cooperative programs.
But the one I would suppose sort of major difference is that this type of care starts while they're incarcerated and then continues when they're outside.
Exactly. So that the current model involves dividing the people in the jail based upon their neighborhood, and we do it by zip code, and then within the jail, people are assigned to a team that corresponds to their neighborhood or their community health center. In Springfield, not just by accident, there are community health centers in each of the poor neighborhoods of Greater Springfield, includes Holyoke, and so we've got corresponding teams within the jail that match up. So we've got dually based providers, case managers, and physicians working both in the community health center and in the jail so that you can have continuity before, during, and after.
Great. If you're just joining us, we're talking to Dr. Thomas Lincoln of the Brightwood Health Care Center about corrections and public health partnerships. Can you talk a little bit about the need for these kinds of collaborations and the benefits of having these kinds of collaborations?
The longer we've been doing this, the more it continues to make sense. When the idea came up, it was kind of like one of those could have had a V8 ideas. But as we keep working on it, it still makes sense. So when we run into some issue or resource issue, we keep coming back to the same model of trying to have this dually based and neighborhood based. So in terms of the benefits, we've looked at outcomes and we've seen good numbers in terms of follow-up. So for instance, in patients with HIV, following up at the health center exceeds 90%. For initial visits, which is actually above the usual numbers at our health centers. For other conditions, it's a lesser degree, so hypertension, someone might be less apt to follow up. We've had suggestions of decreased hospitalization and decreased emergency room visits, but in terms of the size of the study and the data that we were looking at, we didn't have statistically significant changes there, but it was pretty suggestive.
Mm-hmm.
What we did see was clearly that the amount of involvement in the model, the amount of care that people got in jail and got in terms of this team-based care, corresponded with the likelihood of following up at their community health center. And also the amount of trust that they described having while
within the jail of the healthcare team even further heightens that likelihood of falling into the community health center.
And I suppose making these connections for these offenders as they are released, it has a sort of a trickle-down effect, not only for their own health, but for the health of their families and friends and people that they might come in contact with.
Yeah, and we see that at the health center. So often I'm working there and taking care of friends and family of people who are incarcerated. And it's actually been a repetitive occurrence that I'll be seeing someone in the community and they'll be having trouble with their diabetes, and it'll come down to stress or depression, and I'll find out they have a family member in the jail, and that's what they've been worried about. And once they know that I'm going into the jail and can check in on that person, you can palpably feel people relax.
Oh, wow.
The reaction in the community, you know, this has been going on for years now, is really supportive of it, just in the family and people who are immediately experiencing this.
Great. Well, it sounds like the community is really on board. Was there a philosophical shift in sort of the way that policymakers or maybe those in the community health system had to kind of, you know, move toward this kind of a partnership? Is there a shift in thinking?
I'd say so, yeah. When initially we came up with the idea, we had the three key participants, public health and corrections and community health, all interested, and I'd say all were very progressive thinking groups. And I think over the last decade, all three of those groups nationally have really come to appreciate the importance of cooperation between community and public and corrections, healthcare.
Why do you think that is? Do you think that's because there's more understanding of the types of health ailments that offenders have, or is it just a trend toward, you know, helping folks be more successful in the community?
I think it's in part the increasing numbers in corrections, and in part the work of a number of people over the years to pull together some of the data, because the data speaks quite loudly, particularly on infectious diseases, mm-hmm. So HIV and hepatitis C and tuberculosis and other things that are now well demonstrated to really concentrate in corrections, and realizing that if you're not addressing things in corrections, then you're missing a huge fraction of these conditions in the entire country.
Well, that's a very good point. Thanks for having our discussion today, and that concludes today's live talk. Thank you to Dr. Thomas Lincoln of the Brightwood Health Center for joining us.
Thank you.
And thank you to our audience as well for tuning in. For more information on public health and corrections partnerships, be sure to read this week's articles on corrections.com. For CCNN, I'm Michelle Gasso.
You are listening to the Corrections Connection News Network, CCNN, your weekly news source for the corrections and criminal justice industry.